glad to have you here joining us online. I want to introduce to you Melissa Ford from Chicago, and you can find her information online at empoweredparentingsolutions.com. And she joined us last week, and I'm excited to have her back again. And we're going to cover the latest blog post called "An Ornate Cathedral of Failure, Me." So this is the post that I wanted to throw out a bunch of the things that I could call failures in my life currently right now. Even as I was writing that post, I was distracted with things and kind of had some music playing and was doing some other website work at the same time. So I was just sort of being real honest to begin with about the things that I feel that I fail at, which would be staying on task, staying focused, sometimes having an overall goal of where I'm headed, all kinds of things that I just put out there and I feel like it's useful for someone else to hear or see that it's okay to bring light to your failures. Last week we were bringing light to our sort of negative thoughts, and this week I was bringing light to my failures in order to be really real with my readers, and I know Melissa is not afraid to be real with us here either. So Melissa, thank you for being here, and I'm going to start out with something sort of specific here.
Okay.
We just covered together that you this is the blog itself is something we're going to kind of discuss, but we're going to wing it here, and that is perfectly fine. And when I mentioned failure, you kind of already started off on a tangent. I would love to hear more about your thoughts on failure.
Sure. Well, I've been looking at failure for a while. I've also been running from it for a long time. So when I think about failure for myself, really what it means for me is that I'm not getting the results that I want. And when I think about failure, I'm still not comfortable. I'm still not okay many times failing, getting results that I didn't want. And I've read lots of blog posts that say, hey, be kind to yourself, cut yourself some slack, because if you're getting a result and it's not what you wanted, then you can take that and you can learn from it. And I absolutely do believe that. I mean, that's how you grow, that's how you develop. But I still haven't gotten to the place where it's smooth, where it happens, I fail, I don't judge myself, and then I just move on and I learn from it. So I can still get myself hung up in the judgment part of it. So that's kind of where I'm at with failure. But I'm a lot more comfortable, too, with practicing things that I'm new at and being willing to stretch myself and push myself, because my experience has been that when I've run from failure, what I've done is I've just spent a lot of time waiting. And I don't do much. I don't take any action. So failure really is about being willing to take action no matter what happens.
Yeah, and I sort of had these little shower epiphany sort of moments, and this morning was one that came post-blog. It may become another blog, but like you said, that judgment, the judgment around that result, I think that is something that intellectually I can get, and today I sort of had an epiphany around it. So energetically, can I get that? Can I, like you said, is it smooth? Is it something that is actually processed and has now integrated into my being? And what I thought of this morning was that, a lot of these judgments, when I see that result or that failure or time spent this way equaled this result, I decided that was bad.
Right.
And so this is really key, and it sounds simple, but it's like if I can see that I decided that was bad, then that means I could decide something different.
Right.
It doesn't mean that it was actually bad, or that everyone would decide it was bad, a bad result. It just means I decided it was.
Exactly. I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, so that was a big one for me, because I sort of had some things swirling around in my head of, you know, just the last few days or conversations or things that, you know, everyday life. And I'm like, you know what? I've been deciding that those things are bad.
Right.
What if I decided something different? Or what if I just saw that that was a decision I made apart from the actual, interactions, or apart from what was going on? And so that was really powerful, I think, for me to see.
Yeah. I agree with you. You know, we're constantly assigning meaning to what goes on around us, right? So we look out in the world, and that's our job. We're belief makers. We assign meaning. So we look out in the world, and we see things, and we ask ourselves a question. Is that good for me, or is that bad for me? Is that good, is that bad? And we're constantly doing that, and we're doing it so we can navigate in our world. And I absolutely agree with you. When I don't get the result I want, that's one thing. But then when I call it bad, or I call myself bad, all I've done is just judged the result.
Absolutely. And I think just seeing that, you know, awareness is so key just around it, then it means that next time that happens, just like throughout my day today, after that sort of epiphany, then I can say, oh, this is happening again. Wait a minute, there's a tiny gap of space, and maybe I'll make a new decision, or maybe I'll decide the same thing, but say at least realizing that it's just my decision. That was just something that I picked, and there's a host of possibilities that I could pick about that thing, and it doesn't mean it's forever going to be this way. It doesn't mean that it's locked in, and now it's something I have to carry in my backpack of baggage for the rest of my life or something either.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, knowing that The hard part of failure is the judgment just makes going and getting the results easier. I absolutely agree. And even knowing that, I can still get myself stuck in that really uncomfortable feeling when I'm judging a result. But it's kind of fun. I've been, for the last year, coached by Steve Chandler. And Steve will say to me, I don't care, Melissa, if you're uncomfortable. I don't care if you've just judged that thing. All I want you to do is keep taking action. So as you and I were talking earlier before you started this broadcast, what he really wants me to do is he wants me to start practicing and develop a new habit. Mm. Start creating some different habit through action.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for that wonderful segue.
There you go.
that Steve delivered to us, that actually is right there in the blog as well. And I think he's right on and you're right on. And this thing called habit is really, really big. And I use a very simple, very universal example in the blog this week of buying groceries at the grocery store. And Lindsay and I have been, you know, doing different budgeting things or whatever as we've been married, and one of the things that we decided was every week on Sunday after church we go to grocery store and we get, you know, our groceries for the week. We spend $50. Well, over time something weird has happened in that I don't really look at the prices, I don't really add up specifically in my head exactly how much we have in the basket, but I can just sort of feel when we're close to $50, and I'll go and say it's time to check out, and it's like uncanny how close it is every time. And I'm not taking credit for being some math whiz, because the thing that I try to relay in the blog is, like, I think it's actually moved out of my head as a cognitive thought process and moved into just a habit that has just become something innate now. And I know that's a lot to put into buying groceries at the grocery store, but I think if we can, that's something we all do. I'm not trying to say this is some business technique or some meditation process that maybe a lot of people haven't done. So creating a habit, as Steve is asking you to do, it's through action.
Mm-hmm.
It's in small steps. It's not stopping your whole life to begin some new plan. What does he bring to you as advice on how to make a habit, or is that basically it? You know.
Well, I'm going to have a coaching session with him tomorrow, so I'll ask him. well, you know, he's big on action, and that is essential. That is essential. That was something that was lacking in my life before I really started coaching with Steve or even joining the Coaching Prosperity School. I spent a lot of time waiting until I felt more comfortable, waiting until I figured things out so then I could be okay and take steps to do something. And really what I was doing was I wasn't changing anything. And I had this messed up idea that I had to be comfortable first, really okay, before I took any action. And then what I learned was that I could act decisively whether I was fearful or whether I was perfectly okay. I mean, I could do it. And so Steve just kept saying, you know, I don't care if you're uncomfortable. I don't care if you think you can't do this. I don't care if you don't trust it. I want you to test it out. I want you to constantly practice this thing. And so making it a habit, doing it over and over and over. And I like your idea of thinking about if I can make a habit out of something simple like groceries and how much money I'm going to spend, I can treat this the same way, whatever it is that I'm trying to shift. I can just know I can turn it into a habit with enough practice. So, and it was small steps, just like what you said, but I took some step to change something.
Beautiful. And do you have something that you would be open to sharing?
Sure.
Or
sure. It was actually a pretty big thing. So I'm a coach. I coach in the Oak Park area, which is right outside of Chicago. And one of the ways in which I get my message out is I do public speaking. I always knew I could be really good at it, but I was terrified. I mean, just terrified of this. And so I started practicing speaking and doing different presentations. And at the time, I had a business partner, and she and I would get up in front of groups. And I really felt at times that I was going to stroke out. I'd be sweating. I'd be just, you know, my throat would be clenched. I mean, it was just horrible what I would put myself through. You're smiling. I can see it now.
Yeah.
And it was so bad. But deep down, I knew that I could do it, but I was just so getting in my way. And so I said to Steve, this is one of the things that I wanted to accomplish with coaching. I said to him, what I want to do is I want to be able to get up in front of groups. I don't care if it's 5 people, 50 people, or 500 people. I want to be able to do this. He goes, okay, well, start practicing. And I said, okay, how? You know, his old how? And he goes, well, it's not how, it's do you want to do this? It's never about how. Do you want to do this? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, how badly do you want to do this? I said, okay, I've got it. So what I started doing was I would go into my basement. I have one of these basements. It's not finished. It's just a old cellar. I have a flip chart down there. I have 2 light bulbs that hang from the ceiling. I turn them on, and I stand down there, and I talk to my pretend audience. And this is how I practice for my presentations. And I would do it over and over and over. And my gosh, it was to the point where I thought, how many times could I possibly do this? But I kept doing it. And then I started speaking. And it got easier and easier. And I can still at times, if I want to, terrify myself, but I do it a lot less. And for instance, tomorrow I'm going to be speaking to 50 parents. I'm going to be speaking in a microphone so I can hear my voice and have an out-of-body experience. Mm-hmm. And I just get up there and I've practiced enough how I want to feel and who I want to be when I show up for these presentations, and I know my material. So that's an example. And that took me really 7 months to do that. And I'm still doing it, yeah.
So I want to applaud you for that shift, because you've explained where you started and where you got to.
Yeah.
So that you can really see a measurement there. And then I also, you know, I want to let our listeners and audience here see, you didn't have a gig that you went to begin with before you started practicing. I mean, you knew there was opportunities for speaking, but you just started the practice part first.
Right. Right. And I knew that if I wanted to, I could generate some interest and I could generate some people who would say yes to me. And that was my intention because I thought to myself, maybe I'll decide at some point I never want to speak again to a group, but I want to do it because I've chosen not to, not because I've chosen it to avoid fear.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And not wondering if you ever could have got there or had that feeling in your gut, like I think someday I could do that, but someday never comes. And
Yeah.
you, yeah. Beautiful.
Exactly. Yeah, so I had to be willing to fail. I mean, I failed a lot down in that basement by myself, watching myself stumble over words, watching myself forget things, noticing that I would draw a blank. Maybe it was a lot of practice, and I had to be willing to go downstairs and not come upstairs. That's another reason I put myself in the basement, because I was not going to distract myself. And so I would have a timer down there too, how long I was going to practice. That's what I did. And I decided to believe Steve. I decided that I was going to believe that I could practice this because I had tried to think my way out of it. I tried to think my way out of the fear. I tried questioning my beliefs. I did all sorts of things, but I wasn't willing to give it up. So that's the habit that I developed. And I'm not quite sure how to tie this back into what we were talking about as far as failing, but maybe you can provide some words since I've been in the
Well,
middle of the story.
yeah, no, it's beautiful, and I also want to give just a little more background on you, is that this was not in the first year of your coaching practice or the fifth year. You'd kind of been at this for a while, right?
Yes. I've been coaching for about 18 years and I've been terrified of public speaking. Oh, easily the 18 years that I've been coaching. And like I told you, I would traumatize myself.
So that's, and I think that's something a lot of people can relate to. I still am terrible at public speaking. This venue here gives me a chance to sort of try to be a little more comfortable with it myself. So thank you for practicing with me. And we are recording my practices so you can see all my failures here over and over if you just want a laugh track or something. But I think, and that's I think one of the number one fears that anybody has is public speaking, and you just showed how to fix it. You didn't become a different person. You didn't all of a sudden wake up one day and know how to do it. You just started doing something out of your comfort zone, and you did it over and over again. And
Right.
then when the opportunities came, or when you created some opportunities, then you had a little more basis to work from.
Right. And with every time they got up in front of a group, I would pay attention to what was helping me feel powerful in front of the group. So again, I would go back to Steve's words. It wasn't how, it was want to. And so I paid a lot of attention to when I showed up. And I remember, I'm sure you've heard Steve say, who do you want to be? Who do you want to be when you show up in front of this group? And so tomorrow, when I get up in front of this group, these 50 parents, who do I want to be? I want to be this very powerful, compassionate, kind, dynamic, fun, funny person who's going to share an idea and hopefully help these people realize that they could take this information and then they can do something with it in their own lives. So that's another thing that I practice. Who do I want to be as I'm going to create this experience?
Beautiful. Beautiful. And I think so, kind of using that to kind of loop back around. So who do I want to be? Am I in a moment where I'm judging all my failures? And an ornate cathedral of failures is what I entitled the blog. And I sort of illustrate how the, we can really see that image of, like, you can think of an ornate cathedral. It's like there's little details everywhere. There's painting and there's sculptures, and so my mental image of my failures can be that grand of a scale, to where I can feel really small in this big creation. And I guess where I was kind of bringing that back around was saying, you know, really, if I think that I can create a new habit in my life to change or shift any of those areas, then that ornate cathedral can become a small toy that I can just sort of look at and say, you know what, I am powerful to change any of these things if I begin practicing them. If I sit here and worry about it and sit here and stay in judgment about it and not in action, then it just grows to this big thing that scares me. But when I'm in action in small ways, it kind of starts to shrink, and all of a sudden I feel like I'm gaining some momentum, and then I'll be stuck again next week. You know, it's not something that I think you beat forever, but it is a spiraling up or a shifting up in a way to where some of those things you can kind of put behind you and move on to bigger challenges as you grow as a person. So
yeah, I love that. That's a great description using the cathedral, and I like your talking about action, because as far as, you know, my experience has been with coaching and why it's so powerful is because it is about action. And we can spend a lot of time procrastinating, waiting to be comfortable, waiting to get support, waiting to know how. And we spend all that time and nothing gets accomplished. And we don't change and we don't develop new habits. We just develop the habit of waiting. And I did that for a really long time. And you don't really get many great results from that. You just really get reinforced what's wrong with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's so human and so beautifully real that I hope people are watching this and hearing that there's another solution. There are other ways to look at this. And obviously you and I have experienced great coaching, and that is something that for me, some weeks it was the fact that the phone call was going to be made and I was going to, you know, snap me back into a moment of action that I had asked for and paid for and invited into my life. And as you said, someone on the other end of the phone says, well, get to it. You know, here's how you do that. You start making it happen. And that sounds simple, but it's deeper than that, I think, too.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's a great way to snap out of it, create something different for yourself. And then once you start to take that action, the beauty is you start to write a different story. So you have new evidence to draw on. So now my evidence is when I get up in front of a group that I can be in command of an audience, I can interact with people, I can ask questions of them, I can encourage discussion, that I can do those things. So the next time I go to speak in front of a group, I can remember that story of being powerful versus the one where I thought I was going to stroke out and I was sweating profusely. So you're just building new stories that you get to pull from.
Yeah, and we can also sort of bring back the idea of that judgment from this vantage point, your new perspective. You can look at that stroking out session as, was it a bad thing, or now is it a great part of the story of where you know, your overall picture of where you've come from. And
absolutely. So. Yep, see, there you go. You just turned it into something good.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Well, thank you, Melissa. I think we'll go ahead and wrap up today. You know, the thing at the end of the blog that I did was I just listed everyone who has given me or that I participated in a coaching relationship with over the last year.
Oh, great. I don't know how
many names are on this list, but there's a bunch. And, you know, of course, you are there. So thank you for the work that we've done together, and thank you for being on these hangouts with us. And even in my ornate cathedral of failure, you know, feeling like I'm sitting there doing nothing for year after year, when you look back, you've actually come further than you think, you know, if you take some time to sit down and to measure out or illustrate what you have done. So
Right, I agree. You'll notice that if you're willing to identify what was great about it versus how, you know, what's missing, how come you haven't gone so far? Again, the good versus the bad.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, thank you, Melissa. I hope you enjoy the snow in Chicago for the next couple days, and hopefully we'll speak again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Aaron.
All right, thank you, Melissa.
Bye-bye.